Hello, everyone.
Happy Saturday. Me, I'm just checking my setup. Y'all, if you don't know, Zoom did an update. And there's some cool stuff that it changed. So I am just might need a minute to kind of refamiliarize myself where things are because they moved some stuff. Let's see. Okay. Participants, here we go. I'm going to change my name. Welcome, maintainers, and anyone else who might be listening. If you are new to No BS, welcome. This is the monthly open coaching call for members that are in maintenance. I am Coach Christy, one of the No BS coaches here, and I like to hang out with the maintainers. I am in maintenance myself. Since my highest weight, I've lost about 85 pounds. Some of that with Weight Watchers. I lost like 107 pounds with Weight Watchers. Was there for like, 20 minutes and then started regaining. And then over the course of the next 10 years, just kept going back to Weight Watchers and trying to lose. And then found Corinne in 2018. And since being with No BS, I'm down almost 50 pounds of what I had put on. So I don't know. I'm just going to see. I don't know when I'm going to stop losing. I'm just kind of keeping up with my habits and I'm going to see how, where the scale ends up. So I'm happy with what I'm doing right now. But I was thinking about maintenance today and I just wanted to talk with y'all as people are coming in. I'm going to open the chat. So, hey, Coach Heather, let me pull Coach Heather up here. When you raise your hand, Heather, you can let me know. It's probably not, there she goes. There she goes. Wrote to panelists. Make sure you guys have your chat set to everyone and not just hosts and panelists. That way everyone can see what you're saying in the chat. If you have questions, feel free to pop them in the Q&A. And if we have some time after we do some coaching, I will answer some questions. Sometimes I answer questions in between people coming on screen. So this is open coaching. So all you have to do is raise your hand. I do want to coach those of you that are actively in maintenance first. If we have time, if you were in maintenance and now you're out of your maintenance range and you want help getting how to get back in your maintenance range, then we can coach on that after we've given all the maintainers a chance to raise their hands. Okay. Hi, Jody. Oh, hello from Michigan. My mom's from Michigan. Gail, she's from Sault Ste. Marie. Robin, hello from Central Illinois. I went to college in Southern Illinois. Sunny Dublin, Ireland. Jackie, oh, that's so cool. Aloha from Hawaii, Bernadette. Hi, everybody. Oh, this is so great. Okay. So this is, as you guys have been asking for, this is our second installment of our monthly maintenance call. We were every other month and now we are every month. So that's exciting. So we want to keep it going. So make sure you tell all of your other No BS members or your accountability. If you guys are in maintenance, make sure you come to these calls because if they are working well for y'all, then we'll keep them, right? So okay. I wanted to talk real quick while you guys, oh, you graduated from SIUE. Robin, I am Carbondale, SIUC. So if y'all don't know, that is Southern Illinois University, two campuses, one in Edwardsville. Yeah, right. SIUE. And then one in Carbondale, which is where I went. That's so cool. Go Salukis. Yeah. Which is so weird. When I went to Carbondale, which their mascot is the Salukis, I'm like, what the hell is a Saluki? I had no idea. The whole entire time I went to that school, I did not know what a Saluki was. I believe it is an Egyptian dog, like ancient Egyptian dog or something. I don't know. Anyway, you started off at SIUC. Yeah. Okay. Hello. Oh, thanks, Alejandra. I love y'all too so much. Okay. I'm just going to warn y'all right now that it's like a weird day for me. I'm feeling sort of emotional. Is anybody else feeling emotional? Are you with me? Am I by myself today? I don't know. I've been, lots of thumbs up. Thank y'all so much. So I'm going to try not to cry on this call. I don't know. I was really excited to be with you guys. And I don't know. I went for a run outside today, which I haven't done in a long time. And I don't know if y'all, anybody out there uses the Peloton app, but I did the 30-minute outdoor walk run for Mother's Day. Oh my God, y'all. It just, I was like running and crying. First of all, it's really hard for me to run and do anything, let alone run and cry. She was, I can't remember who it was. It was Kirsten McPherson, if you guys follow Peloton, but anyway, it was all lovely Mother's Day songs. And she was talking about her story of being raised by a single mom, and she's a single mom. And anyway, my son just got home yesterday from, he moved home from Tallahassee. He just graduated from college and he's joining the Air Force. He leaves on Monday. Anyway, I'm just all over the place. So, but today I was thinking on my run, I was like, what can we talk about with the maintenance people while y'all get brave to raise your hand? Because don't forget, this is an open coaching call. I'm not just going to sit here and talk for an hour. So y'all think about what you want to be coached on as you're sitting in your maintenance range. But I was thinking about what I wanted to talk to you guys about. And so Coach Lizzie, if you don't know, most of us coaches have private clients that we see in members that want to get one-on-one coaching. So anyway, Coach Lizzie does some amazing stuff for private clients. They get a lot of kind of interesting little perks and stuff like that. And one of the things that they get in private coaching is they get a monthly newsletter that is really chock full of just amazing information, stuff to think about, journaling prompts. This particular month has an interview with Yasmin, who is one of our content creators and jack of all trades for NoBS. If you don't know Yasmin, she's amazing. She does post a lot in the maintenance group. So, but anyway, one of the things that the topic of this month's newsletter for the private clients, and I'm not going to give it away because then it wouldn't be super secret, would it? Just kidding. Anyway, it got me thinking about maintenance. And I want to ask you guys in the chat. So I'm going to read your answer. So here comes a question. So get ready to type your answers. What did you guys think that maintenance would really be like? Like, what were you thinking it would be? Is it what you thought it would feel like? Do you feel what you thought you would feel once you got here? Let me see what you say in the chat, because I was thinking about what I thought maintenance would feel like, and it's not exactly right. Okay, so Liz says, I thought it would be easier, like I was done. Yes, I thought I'd be done. Julie says, easy. You thought it would be easy, not as hard to stay in. It felt scary, says Gloria. Laura says, you thought you would love your body. Right? Judy said she thought she would feel contentment. Heaven, says Bess. Shasta says, you thought you'd feel more satisfied. Audrey says, I thought it would be more contentment with your body. Lisa says it was super scary. Yeah, like these are all legit, you guys. These are great. Darlene says, it's way better, but you're worried you'll stay here. Julie says, I thought that I would have figured it all out. Dorita says, thought it would be the most wonderful thing that would ever happen and I would be happy with my body. Yeah. Right? We have this idea of what maintenance is going to feel like when we get there. And we think it's going to be all like roses and, you know, unicorns, and it's going to be amazing. And for a lot of us, there are some great things about it, right? Like there are some great things that I have experienced since being in maintenance, for sure. But one of the things that I thought maintenance was going to be like was a lot. I think somebody said it earlier. I thought I would be done, right? I thought it would be like, okay, I can check that box now. And I know where that comes from. Like, I get it, right? I did that so many freaking times with Weight Watchers and all the other diets I did. I did it so many times. It's like, once you got to your goal weight, it's like, oh, thank God I don't have to weigh and measure and count points anymore. Thank God I can go back to eating all those foods that I had been skipping out on. Now I can just be normal, right? That's what I thought maintenance was going to be like. And so even within NoBS, there was that part of me that felt like once I hit my maintenance range, I was like, phew, okay, right? But thank goodness, y'all, that Corinne teaches us to build the habits that we want to keep forever, not just until. this is not what I would call like an as soon as I diet. As soon as I get to my goal weight, as soon as I do this, I'm going to stop. You know, this is a like creating truly a new version of yourself that it's never going to change. And one of the things that Coach Lizzie described in the newsletter, which I thought was such a great analogy, I feel like we need a new definition of what maintenance is. Because I felt like when I got into maintenance, my definition of maintenance was a certain weight. Like I'm in maintenance. That meant I was a certain number or I was within my certain range. And I just wanted to propose to y'all, what if we change the definition of what maintenance is? What if maintenance is not about a certain range of numbers on the scale? What if our definition of maintenance is we are maintaining the habits that got us here? I'm in maintenance, which means I am maintaining my habits that got me here. I feel like if we start thinking about maintenance in that way, it really reduces some of the anxiety and fear about how you're going to stay here. Because if I coach on anything, and y'all see it in the maintenance group, and you'll see it in the weight loss group, right? If I coach on anything, I coach on, I'm worried on how to stay here. When I get to the top of my range, I freak out. Like, I feel like I have to white knuckle. I feel like I have to scrutinize everything I do, right? I'm so desperate to stay here that I just feel like if I stop thinking about it and stop obsessing, it's all my weight's going to come back on. And if y'all go back and listen to all the calls that have been done on maintenance, not just with me, but with any coach that coaches on maintenance, we all talk about the same thing. We remind you, okay, well, how, show your brain, how did you get here? Show your brain how you're going to stay here. Let's review. How did you lose 50 pounds? Are you still doing those things? Yes or no? That's why it's so important to keep doing the things that you love, to build habits that you love, right? So the analogy that Coach Lizzie used in the newsletter, and I've heard Coach Dina talk about it like this too, is think of yourself as a gardener and think about your weight loss as a garden, right? And I want you to think about your body weight and your what you do every day as a garden, and you are the gardener, okay? So when we get to maintenance, oh, our garden is perfect, right? It looks amazing. It's beautiful. Everything's blooming, right? Everything feels really good. But what happens with the garden if you leave it alone? If you just let it look pretty for that day, and then you walk away from it, you go back to old habits, a little bit of overeats, little bit of, you know, for staying up too late, not getting your sleep in. Ah, forget that water. I'm a little short. It's no big deal. Right? Then what happens is the weeds start to grow. Yes, the weeds start to grow. Now, this doesn't mean that you're like a bad gardener, right? That's normal. Weeds are natural, right? Weeds are going to come up. But our job as the gardener is to lessen the amount of time that we walk away from our garden, right? To get back to our garden and maintain it faster than we ever did before. And so I think if we think about that, it can take away some of the fear about staying in maintenance. I'm not in maintenance because I'm at a number. I'm in maintenance because I'm maintaining my habits. Okay. Thanks, Dorita. It is a good analogy, right? I can't, y'all, I have some epiphanies when I run outside. It's just so beautiful. And I just, you know, I just get in my head a little bit, but I like that too. So let's practice that. If y'all are in the Facebook group and you're in the maintenance group, let's spread that around, right? Let's spread it around so the other people that are coming into maintenance, that they can know that that's how we're going to define maintenance, right? We're going to think about maintenance as we are in maintenance because we are maintaining habits. And the interesting thing is if you're listening to this call and you are not in maintenance, but you're just, you know, lurking around to see what maintainers are talking about, this is actually applicable to you too, right? So if you are in the weight loss side and you're trying to lose weight and you are one of those people who are like, well, you know, I've been bouncing around the same 2 pounds, or I gain and lose and gain and lose the same 2 pounds, or I'm stuck and I can't get the scale to move. You are also maintaining your habits. You are maintaining your current habits, right? And we know that in order to lose weight and get that scale to move, something's got to change, right? Some of those habits have to change. So if you are maintaining your current habits and not losing, then you're going to have to change up whatever it is you're doing, right? Okay. Audrey, she has her hand raised. So let's pull her on up and see what Audrey wants to talk about today. Thanks for being here with me, everybody, on a Saturday. I know this is a new time for our little group, Saturdays at noon Central Time. So I appreciate everybody being here. Here comes Audrey. Hey, Audrey, good to see you again. We've chatted before.
We have. Good to see you. When you were talking, I was thinking like, I don't know. There's so many layers of my questions. So I'll tell you what I'm working on or what I'm not working on.
Okay.
And then let's see what uncovers. So one thing I love about No BS is the anything at enough, right?
Okay.
And yet I have identified that certain things don't work well for me. Alcohol is one of them. So I have lowered that. It's I don't miss it. I have it on occasion.
Okay.
I gotta work on my thought work around gluten. I have identified for me that in certain quantities, it doesn't have to be an all or nothing. And I think that's my thought work issue. Is my thought work issue is I'm going to have to give it all up. I'm going to have to be deprived. I'm never going to have it again. My overeats tend to come out of celebration. So I'm trying to figure out my thought work around knowing what's good for my body, which is a certain, I almost said restriction, a certain decision to lower the gluten. Like I'm going to a Mother's Day brunch tomorrow at a beautiful hotel. And I'm already thinking it's a celebration. Like I should just, you know, do all the pastries and do all the in moderation. But even in moderation, it adds up and it does not serve me well. And I have not felt good because I've been in the celebration season for a couple weeks.
Okay. Well, I'm excited for you to go to the Mother's Day brunch. That's exciting tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. So I'm excited that you have a plan. I did tell my husband that, because he's like, what do you want to do for Mother's Day? And I said, I think I want to go to TJ Maxx and just walk around. But I don't want you to come in with me because you'll ruin it. So I'm glad that you're going to a brunch. So that's what I might be doing. So good for you. Okay. So here's what I want to ask you, Audrey. So let's pretend I'm going to go to the do line just real quick with you.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's pretend for a moment that you are designing how you want to show up tomorrow. Let's go. Remember back in the day when you were like, maybe you're not so specific now with your planning, but back in the day when you were losing your weight, you're probably fairly specific, right? About what it was you want to be. Okay. So what does the sort of version of you that's got a Mother's Day meal planned and is also trying to honor her body and what it needs as far as the gluten. Well, how do you show up tomorrow? Like, and I want you to be real specific. Like, what does it look like? How many pastries? What kind of pastries? Like, let's just come up with the plan of how we want to show up first.
Yeah, I think ideally, because I've eaten so much gluten and I'm feeling the effects, I think ideally it would be not any. Like, well, I'm not going to do a pastry, but let me quickly give you an example from like, is it Saturday? I don't know what day it is. I think it was Thursday. Thursday, I had my plan and I do plan pretty specifically still. And I had my snack and then I go to my parents' house and there's banana bread. And I was like, okay, I'll have like a little bit of banana bread. And again, a little's not a problem, but a little adds up. So I think really the best thing I could do for myself tomorrow is either do nothing, no pastries, no whatever, or what I call three polite bites.
Okay.
Because you know, that probably would not add to the problem that much.
Okay. So this is how you want to show up. So I'm just going to go with three polite bites because, you know, if you do nothing, either the process is going to be the same. Okay. Like you can have options. You can give yourself an either or. Some of y'all out there may do better with like, I am doing this and you just have one route. Sounds like you want to have a choice. Okay. So that tells me that in the moment, there's probably going to be a little bit of negotiation because when we give ourselves choices, now we have a little bit of negotiating too. So just be aware of that. Okay. So let's just go with the three polite bites. That's the plan for tomorrow. That's what you're going to do. It's been decided.
Okay.
Now check in with yourself. You feel what right now?
Well, part of me feels it's like the little angel and devil. It's like the devil's like, that feels good. That feels like, okay, I can at least. And then the angel side is like guilty, like, that's not the best choice for you, Audrey.
So three polite bites is not the best choice. Zero is the best choice.
Really, zero is the best choice for me. Future okay. Audrey probably should get to zero in some over okay. time.
Okay, that's a great thought, right? Mm-hmm. So is that something you could latch onto in this moment and say, you know what? One day I would like to practice being a person that has zero. But for tomorrow, three bites is a little bit in the gray area, and that's actually perfect for me right now. Is that accessible to you, that thought?
Yeah, I think that's very helpful. I think in the past, as I said, I label myself an overeater or an emotional eater for happy occasions. And this is a happy occasion, but there's been other things in 2024 in my life that have been harder. Mm-hmm. And usually those harder things don't cause me to go to the food. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, quote unquote, negative emotions, grief, stress, whatever, has caused me. So it's like I'm double dipping on the overeat. Mm. When I say overeat, it's kind of like instead of enough, more to satisfy. Not very many, over.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go back to the gluten though. So we've got a plan now. And have we reconciled the plan? That you feel good, that three bites is maybe not perfect, but it's where you are right now. And that feels accessible to you.
Yes. I think that's very helpful.
Okay. It's normal too, by the way, that you have the angel devil conversation. I always say to my private clients, the fact that you're even noticing the conversation is so much progress, right? Because that tells me if you hear both voices, then you're watching yourself. You're an observer of your thinking. You're not a participant in your thinking, because you can be like, oh, part of me says this and part of me says this. So you're watching the conversation, and that's always great. That's a great place to be, is just knowing that you have you're having the conversation. Okay. So we're good with the three bites. Maybe someday we'd like to be completely gluten-free and that's where we're headed, right? But this is where I would really like you to get in your journal too. I would really like for you to design the kind of person on paper that you want to be with gluten. Okay. Because I feel like you have this version that's ideal, right? And that's fine, but let's be real specific. Is she gluten-free all the time? Is there ever a time that she has gluten? Like, I want you to think about holidays. I want you to think about, you know, your very favorite special thing that you make, whatever. Like, really get clear with yourself, your parameters and what you want it to look like. And then, okay, so that's the do line, right? Mm-hmm. That's the action. We've got the plan. Audrey's plan for tomorrow is if she decides there's something, and I'm just going to throw in the velvet rope idea here, right? Like, if there's something that is velvet rope worthy, and if y'all don't know what that is, velvet roping means, like, I want you to think about, like, when you go to like a really fancy nightclub, which I have never been to, but I've seen it on TV, and they have the bouncer there and he's got the velvet rope, you know, and like, there's a line of people to get in, and like, he like looks down the line, and I don't know how they pick people, probably maybe, I don't know who they think is the prettiest girl or probably who has the most money, but anyway, and they let them in first before other people, right? Cause they're like worth it. Right. So if you should find something tomorrow that's velvet rope worthy, and you're like, okay, I am enacting my three bites to be polite, and this is what I'm doing, and this is gray area, and that's where I'm going to be right now. Right. Okay. Once we have the plan, the next step to really make that plan feel less white knuckly, because here's where other diets fail. They give you the plan and then they just say, go do it.
Right.
You could do that. We could walk away from this call and be like, okay, I've got my plan. I'm just doing it. Right. And it might work. I mean, some people, they just make a decision and that's good enough. I just decided this is what's happening. It's no big deal. There's no drama about it. This is just how I'm showing up. Right. But other people are like, when they get there, then they start the whole like, why did I say that? Well, maybe I'll just do six bites. Maybe I'll do two, three bites to be polite. So that'll be six bites. You know, they start the whole thing, right?
Right.
So what we might want to do then is we might want to think about your plan for your three bites And then we might want to just make that sexy as hell. So between now and this meal tomorrow, whenever you think about this meal, I want you to think about how perfect three bites is going to be. I want you to build so much contentment around this plan that nothing else even sounds as good.
Yeah. I think what I was doing well, the beginning of No BS was latching onto the concept that it's not, the event is not about the food. And I feel
Oh,
like
yeah.
my brain has kind of reverted a little bit to like, because I'm doing actually a little overnight staycation at a hotel with my best friend. Yeah. And I'm already thinking like, oh, but this is, oh, I lost my thought. Hold on. What did I say?
You were talking about, no, and it's funny because that's exactly where I was going to go next with you is what, let's take the sexiness from the food away.
Right. So, but yeah. I feel myself planning like, okay, we get there at 3 p.m. I'm planning the food, not the stay. Does that make sense? Like
100%, 100%. I know exactly what you're saying. Yes. And when we talk about making your plan sexy, I love that you're thinking of including that. You're so smart. Yes. Like, so I just want to be real clear though. So between now and tomorrow, I want you to think about this three bites and I want you to create a lot of contentment around this. I want you to think things like, oh my God, that's going to be the perfect amount. That's actually going to be perfect. Like it gives me a little bit, like I can taste it. Like I say this with my clients sometimes, like, especially when we're talking about like, you know, when you go to a meal and there's like appetizers or charcuterie or something, you know, and they're like, oh, I always overeat on that. And then I feel bad and I eat dinner anyway. And then I'm stuffed, you know? So I use this term a lot with that kind of eating. And I'll say, listen, when the charcuterie comes out or appetizers or whatever, I want you to be a taster and not an eater. Right? Like we're just gonna have a little bit, like, I'm just going to taste that and see, I'm not going to actually eat it. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Super helpful. That's super helpful for the gluten for me, because See, I do not have celiac disease. I'm just intolerant, a sensitivity. So in small amounts, and with alcohol, I did this many times a month or this many times a week. But alcohol stands out in my brain more than gluten.
Okay.
Like gluten feels very every day just because it's in so much stuff. So I have thought about doing that. And giving myself a guardrail, as I tell my clients, you know, give yourself a guardrail. I just haven't figured out what the doable is. Maybe that's just a curious thing to work on. Like, okay, we're starting with 10 a week and then we're going 7, then we're going 3, like, and don't let my brain go into all or nothing.
Yes, I love this so much for you. This goes back to what I said. You need to design who you're trying to be. And the first thing you need to design is who you are right now and what feels accessible to you. Like, I get what your ideal is. You've already said she's someone who doesn't really eat gluten ever, really. Like, that's the ideal version. But we got to build her, right? Like, we got to build her up. And yes, you're so good. I mean, yes, experiment, experiment. Good. Okay, well, listen, yes, you're doing a great job. And I just wanted to point out, y'all, this is really good for maintenance too. I love, Audrey, that you are at a spot where you are telling yourself, I know my body well enough and I'm willing to do what's right for it despite all the thoughts that you're probably having about FOMO and shit about you used to be able to eat and all this stuff like that. Like, you are truly at a spot now when how you feel and food in your body is more important than participating in the food. So I think you're at such a good place in maintenance. And I feel like, you know, when we all hit our maintenance range, we still kind of go through these phases. You know, there's like the beginning when we're first there, we're all scared. Like, how am I going to stay here? But then eventually you start letting go of food being the most important thing in your life. And your life becomes the most important thing. And then you're like, wow, I can actually start to make different food choices based on what feels good, because it doesn't have such a hold on me anymore. Right. And so I love that you are even entertaining, you know, eating less gluten, because you've noticed for Audrey that feels good to you. Right. So good. But yes, I think as part of sexing up your three bite plan, then we remind ourselves, what are you looking forward to tomorrow? What are you looking forward to? That's not the food. Tell me, what is exciting about tomorrow?
Well, just having time away to catch up with my best friend. We live kind of in the same town, but we're almost an hour away. We're in Nashville and we're on different sides of Nashville. And we're just, I think the beauty of where we're going to be, we're going out to Opryland Hotel and, you
Fun.
know, and just to sit on the balcony and stare at the beautiful greenery. And I'm not going to worry about what I wear, how I look, because everybody there is a tourist. I'm not going to see anybody I know. It's just,
Right?
so just a quality time. That's really my love language. So I don't want food to take the place of that. So I got to remember that.
So that's what we tell ourselves in those moments when whatever is coming out that you might, and you listen, we're seeing around corners here, right? You probably are going to have some urges. So let's just know when they come in, we're going to make sure we have a little bit of a pause and we remind ourselves, I've got a great plan and my three bites is the perfect amount. Is this the velvet rope? Am I three biting this or am I going to save it? How am I going to do it here? And that's the perfect amount because, man, this is the most important part of this trip. I'm having so much fun with my best friend. Like we're really connecting. I love that I don't have to cook. And there is nothing wrong with getting excited about what, don't mistake me. Everyone should enjoy their food. There is an emotional satisfaction component that I don't even think the best coach could coach out of somebody, right? I mean, we all want emotional satisfaction from our food. It's just a thing. We like it. It's enjoyable. It tastes good. I mean, all the things. You can enjoy it, but it's just making that shift from it being the main event to my life is the main event. Connecting with my friend is the main event. I don't need the gluten to make that any more intense or better. I can do that with my mind.
Yeah, so helpful. Thank
Yeah.
you, Christy.
You're so welcome. I'm so excited for you. Okay, so you've got your marching order. So we've got the plan, three bites. I would also, just as a long-term thing, I would really start working on who you want to be with gluten and I would write it out longhand. Like
Okay.
who I want to be today, what I'm going to, I love your experimenting idea. I'm going to start with 10 times or I'm going to start with whatever and then experiment with different ways. And will you please post in the maintenance group and let us know how you're doing? Because I think this is so helpful for not just, you know, gluten, but anybody else that's doing like alcohol maybe, or, you know, anything. It's a great plan that you're experimenting like that. So good for you.
Yay. Thank you so
All
much. I
right.
appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good one, hon. Okay. Let me put her back down. Okay. Tammy says, I love the velvet rope concept. Oh my gosh. Yes, I use that all the time. I'm just going to tell y'all, I take it to another sort of level in my own mind. So I describe when with my private clients is, and myself, I describe myself as having a, I don't know why I picture it on my, the front of my body, like it's a baby Bjorn. Do y'all know what those are? Like the baby carriers. But I feel like we all have this doable hunger. You can't see my arms, but I'm holding it like this. I feel like we all have this doable hunger bucket, right? And everything that we're going to eat, if we want to stay in our maintenance, has to fit in our bucket. Like it has to stay in the bucket. It can't be overflowing, can't be shit coming out. It has to stay in the bucket. If the stuff is coming out of our bucket, then that's where weight gain is, right? So we want to keep everything inside of our doable hunger bucket. And all of us have different size buckets, right? Like depending where you are on your journey, how far down in maintenance you are, if you're still in weight loss mode, whatever, doesn't matter. All of us have different buckets. So you better bet that if it's getting in my bucket, because I have limited room in my bucket, that I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to only the stuff that's really worth getting in there is getting in. I don't want no riffraff taking up space in my bucket, right? So when I eat, I'm going to sit down and enjoy it. I don't do drive-by eating because then that shit gets in my bucket. I don't even know how it got there. I'm like, what are you doing in here? I don't even remember eating you, right? I'm going to sit down. I'm going to be present with what goes in my bucket. Because I want to stay in maintenance and I have a limited amount that can get in there and keep me in maintenance. So velvet roping is a great concept. Really think about what is worth it. Like I can't even tell y'all, I have Christmas M&Ms in my pantry because M&Ms, y'all, they used to be like, whew, let me just walk by and grab a handful of those. They're not even worth it to me. I'm sorry if y'all love M&Ms. I mean, I like them, but like if I'm going to eat chocolate, it's not going to be Christmas M&Ms. It's going to be Godiva or something really good. Although I do love a Milk Dud, which now that I think about, that's really kind of gross chocolate, but I do love it at the movies. Okay. Let's see. No riffraff in my bucket. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. All right, let me see what else y'all are talking about in the chat while somebody else comes up to raise their hand. Y'all, we still have 25 minutes, so I need somebody to raise their hand. I love this. I'm already experienced that life, and the people in it are more important than the food, and I'm not in maintenance yet. Oh, Jean, that's amazing. That is amazing. Yes, yes. Oh, there's a webinar issue, Heather. I didn't know that. Is there something I can do? I don't know. Oh, it doesn't work on the phones. I see. Okay. Who else wants to get coached? Anybody? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to open it up. If you are not in maintenance and you are slightly outside of your maintenance range and you need help getting back in your maintenance range, then raise your hand and let's talk about it and let's see what's going on. Let's see what's happening with you. Hopefully, if that is you, you are making sure you're tracking your habits, making sure you are planning each day, making sure you're doing discovery worksheets. If you are outside of your maintenance range and you are wondering how to get back in, I highly recommend starting there. Possibly if you are more than, let's say, 5 pounds out of your range, I recommend going back to the weight loss planner and using the weight loss planner versus the maintenance planner. Side note, if you are on this call and you were in maintenance and you didn't know that we even had a maintenance planner, then make sure you go to the website, nobswomen.com, and register yourself for maintenance. And then you will have access to the entire maintenance page on the website, which has the maintenance planner and just some other interesting information about being in maintenance. Okay. Can you discuss about losing and gaining the same 5 pounds? Susan, yes, I can discuss. I have been there myself. And I will tell you, I don't know if you have, Susan, put in the chat or the Q&A, do you have a specific question about that? Or just, I mean, do you want to know like how to stop doing that? I'm just going to start there because I'm going to guess that's probably your question. If you are gaining and losing the same 5 pounds, either A, you are restricting your food and you are doing little quits. You are overeating on foods that you're restricting. And when I say restricting, y'all, I don't necessarily mean I mean mentally restricting. Like you're telling yourself you can't have. That's totally different if you are in a place where you're choosing not to have. Like let's say for Audrey, right? She was just saying, some people would describe her as restricting gluten. Like, ooh, she's restricting. She is restricting gluten, technically, right? But she is choosing to restrict gluten. That's a big difference, like, than her saying, well, I can't have, or I'm not allowed to have, or whatever. She's choosing, and she is liking her reason. That's way different. So if you are gaining and losing the same 5 pounds, check to see that where your overeating is. And if you are you overeating on foods that you don't allow yourself to have on a regular basis? I see this a lot on weekends. People that are gaining and losing the same 5 pounds, it's because, like, one of the things I hear a lot is, I do so good Monday through Friday or Monday through Thursday, right? Or Monday through Friday morning after I weigh in. That was me. That was me in my old Weight Watcher days. We used to go Saturday. I lived in New Jersey and I had 3 other girlfriends that were doing Weight Watchers with me. And we had to drive like 30 minutes to a mall and go in and weigh in. And then on the way home, we would stop by the Hardee's. Y'all remember Hardee's? Yeah. We used to stop by the Hardee's and I would get a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit and some hash browns. And I would chow down on that. And then the whole rest of the day, I would eat all the things that I was not allowed. I'm air quoting if you're listening on the podcast, that I was not allowed to have during the week because they never fit into my points. Macaroni and cheese, pizza. It was like all the things. I would go to bed on Saturday night, like full as a tick. Like I'd be sick, so full, right? And then on Sunday, I would, you know, kind of do the same thing. And then on Sunday night, I'd get real sad because Monday was back in jail, right? So if you're gaining and losing the same 5 pounds, make sure that you're planning foods that you are overeating. Make sure you're planning them on a regular basis. Make sure that the habits that you have in place, that you like them, that you're describing in them in a way that feels good, that makes you want to show up and do them every day. Also, if you are gaining and losing the same 5 pounds and you're not restricting and you're like, I still don't understand why I'm not losing, you need to be prepared for discomfort. If you feel comfortable in your eating, you're probably not making a change. If it feels comfortable to you, you're probably not changing. You're probably not doing anything different. I want you to think about trying to think of an example. I'm usually really good with analogies, but I don't know if I'll be good today, but I want you to think of, oh, okay. I got one. All right. I want you to think about like yoga. If anybody does yoga, even if you don't do yoga, you can probably imagine what this is like. When you first start doing yoga, Heather does yoga too, Coach Heather. She knows a lot about yoga. But when you first start doing yoga, the positions that they put you in, I suck at yoga, y'all. I try to do it. I'm not very good, but I do love it. I specifically like when it's restorative yoga, you know, where you just lay down a lot. But when you're really doing like real yoga, like warrior, all the warrior positions and whatever that one is where you got to wrap your legs around yourself, eagle pose or whatever. I'm not good at any of those. But anyway, when you first start doing those positions, it does feel uncomfortable, right? They're kind of awkward. Like your muscles are like, what are we doing here? Like, I don't know what's happening. I'm all like, I'm not a contortionist. What's going on? But if you continue doing it after a while, it does feel comfortable, right? But then when you want to progress in your yoga, you have to start going to the next level. You know, in fitness classes, when they'll say, and if you want to advance this move, then try this. Well, if you're never taking that option, you're going to feel real comfortable. Yoga's always going to feel like easy and great. Like this is fine. There's nothing wrong with that if that's what you're trying to do. But if you're trying to get better, then we have to embrace a little bit of discomfort, right? Through that discomfort is growth. So how does this look? Because Susan, you asked a great question, right? How does this look with eating? So let's just say you notice I've been gaining and losing the same 5 pounds. I think I'm overeating at dinner. And I'm just going to go to dinner because that's most members' problem is around dinner. The overeating is in the night at nighttime or at the dinner time meal. So let's just say this is you. I want you tonight at dinner to stop way before you think you need to. Maybe not way before. That was dramatic, Christy. Don't be dramatic because we don't need to do way before. But before you think you need to, before it feels comfortable to do so. And then listen. Listen to what you say to yourself. Listen to what Bob the Bouncer in your stomach is saying. Y'all know I love Bob the Bouncer. I stole that from Coach Heather too. Listen, stop before you think you need to, and then listen to what you're saying. Is your mind telling you to keep eating, or is your stomach telling you to keep eating? That's what I want you to do. It's going to feel uncomfortable. If you are comfortable at every meal and you are still trying to lose some weight, then you're probably going to stay stuck because growth happens through that discomfort a little bit. I'm not talking about like someone, you know, cutting off your arm. We're not talking like crazy. Like I don't want to eat 3 bites of your food and then be like, well, Coach Christy said to stop way before I'm comfortable. No, just stop before you think you need to or want to, and then listen. Don't just stop and then go distract yourself. Stop and then listen to what your mind says. Listen to what Bob says in your belly. And then see if you want to eat more because your mind or because of your stomach, and then move from there. Who's Bob the Bouncer? Hey, Moira. Okay, so I call Moira, make sure you put your comment to everyone because you put it to hosts and panelists, which is fine because I can see it. But she's asking who is Bob the Bouncer. So I have names for like, y'all know my habit brain, the guy that lives up there. His name is Steve. I talk to him a lot. He's got a lot to say about food and stuff. So Steve is my habit brain. Bob is the guy that lives in my stomach. He is the bouncer. I stole that idea from Heather, Coach Heather. He's the one that lives down there. He is the truth teller. He does not pull any punches. He is always telling me the truth about what I need food-wise. He is not a liar. Steve, he's a freaking liar, y'all. He will negotiate. Steve should have been a lawyer. He could have gotten Charles Manson off, I swear to God. He is a good negotiator. Steve is good. He's manipulative. He's like, but you had a salad for lunch. But you already weighed in. You can afford it. It's fine. He's really good. But Bob, he just doesn't lie. He's like, bitch, you just ate a half sandwich and some Cheetos. That is what I ate for lunch, by the way. You don't need anything else. We're good. I'm like, damn it. Bob and Steve sometimes do not get along. That's who Bob the Bouncer is. He is the one that tells the truth. Okay. Let's see what else y'all talking about. Robin says, wow, that is one. Oh, I lost it. I lost your comment. Oh, wow. That is one true for me. Comfort and being prepared for discomfort. I am not uncomfortable at all right now. No wonder. Yeah. Yeah. But don't tell your brain it's going to be horrible. It's going to feel a little uncomfortable, right? It's not going to be horrible because we can create the feeling of ease with our mind. But initially, it's going to be uncomfortable. You know how Audrey and I were talking about her plan for tomorrow? And I told her, you know, you can make it easy by describing it in a sexy way. Like you can think about her 3-bite gluten plan as going, okay, this is the perfect amount. You can do that tonight. If you're going to stop early, then all day describe it by going, you know what? I'm just really interested to hear what I think when I stop before I normally do. Like, don't put pressure on yourself to like be starving. Don't be telling, oh my God, I'm gonna be so hungry. Coach Christy said, I gotta eat less and that's gonna be horrible. Just be like, you know what? I wonder what I'm gonna say. I wonder what my Steve is gonna say in that moment. I wonder what my Bob is gonna say. Huh. And then you can go from there. But becoming that observer of your thinking and just being curious about why you're so unwilling to stop before you think you need to, that's where all your answers lie, everybody. That is where our answers lie. When we become curious about what it is we're telling ourselves in that moment that we have an opportunity to eat a little less than we have been, then now we've got something to work with. If I know that I'm telling myself in the moment, let's just say tonight, I want to stop a few bites before I'm ready to. And then I listen. And Bob says, hey, I think we're actually good. But Steve is like, yeah, but it's kind of early. I mean, it's only 6. Like it's Saturday. You're going to stay up until like 10:30. That's like 5.5 hours. What if you get hungry later? You know, you don't have anything else on your plan. Well, I need to know that Steve is afraid of hunger. And also, Steve doesn't trust me that if Bob gives me a signal at 8:30, that I'll honor it. Steve thinks I'm just going to make him shut up. I need to know these things, right? Okay. Jean says, I believe discomfort can be embraced instead of feared or avoided. Yeah. Yes. 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 Coach Heather says, do you think it's possible to change habits without being uncomfortable some of the time? Of course. Right? Of course it is. You can change your habits without being uncomfortable. It's not always going to be hard, right? It doesn't always have to be hard. And I would say this, just like my yoga poses, like I'm pretty good at downward dog. Is that that's the most basic one, isn't it? I don't even know. I'm pretty good at it. But there was a time that it was uncomfortable. The more you get and allow that discomfort, the quicker it becomes comfortable. The more you allow the discomfort and the more often you allow it, the quicker it becomes comfortable. Think about all the other places in your life that you were uncomfortable doing something. Like, I don't know, here's another analogy. So I moved around a lot as a kid. My dad was in the Air Force. And I remember the first time, I had the first memory of a move. We moved a million times before this, but the first time I remembered moving, I was 5. And I was in kindergarten. And I remember moving from Utah to, I think, Mississippi. No, where did we move after Utah? I can't remember. I moved so many times, y'all. But anyway, I remember starting a new school. Oh my God, y'all, has anybody else started a new school, like ever? I bet most of us have, right? Yeah, thumbs up if you started a new school. Anyway, I remember, yeah, thumbs up. You remember how it is that first day? Oh my God, the butterflies, like so freaking, I don't know anyone. I don't know where my classes are. Where am I supposed to sit? Like, how do I get my lunch? Like, I don't even, where's my bus? Like, what's my bus number? Like, there's so many things. I'm getting the goosebumps now just even thinking about this. This is so funny how it just, what is it that the body keeps the score, right? My body remembers this feeling from when I was 5. It was so uncomfortable. Like, I was so scared. Well, fast forward to the rest of my life. I can't even tell you how many times I've moved in my lifetime. Since I've been married, I've moved 17 times because my husband was in the Air Force. But as a kid, I moved at least, I don't even know, 10. I'd have to add them up. But the more I started a new school, the more I created evidence that I could get through it. So it became less uncomfortable. I knew what to predict. I knew I was going to feel like, oh, it's fine. I'll figure it out. Like I'll get used to this. It became less uncomfortable. That's going to be the same with, like, let's say leaving food on your plate. If you are not good at that yet, I'm telling you, the way to get good at it is to do it. I know that seems like duh, but it is true. But if you can prepare yourself just a little bit that it's going to be uncomfortable, I promise you, if you do it two or three, it will get more comfortable. It's kind of like if you ever let your kids cry it out when they were little. I know there's some people that are against that. I'm sorry if you are, but if you let your kids cry it out, you know, that first night they cry for a long, long time. And then the second night it gets a little bit better. And the second, and then it just keeps getting better and better and better. That's how this is. The more you get used to it, the quicker it becomes less of a big deal. Yes, practicing discomfort creates resilience and grit. True, true. Nancy says, I moved at least one time every school year because my mom was a rent eviction evader. It never got easier. I'm sorry, Nancy. It is challenging. It is challenging, but look at all this evidence that you have of how resilient you have become. Yeah. Okay, we've got 10 minutes left. Anybody have a question about maintenance, about how to get in maintenance? Question about your maintenance range, not sure about your goal weight, not sure how to eat a little less and make it more, a little more comfortable going once. I'm going to call this call early on this Saturday. We have another call coming up in, what is this month, May? We have another one coming up in June. I believe it's also going to be on a Saturday around this time. So I hope this time worked for everybody. Oh, wait. Okay. Cindy saved y'all. I was about to wrap it up early and Cindy saved y'all. Let's see. I was running out of things to just talk about, y'all. Not really. I actually have one more thing that I want to say before we get off, but Cindy, I promoted you. Let's see what you've got going on today. Oh, I got questions in the Q&A. I didn't even see that, y'all. Hold on. Come on, Cindy, you got to unmute yourself and start your video. Anonymous says, please explain the velvet rope concept. I think I already did that. Just as a reminder, it's foods that are worthy of fitting inside your doable hunger bucket. We have a limited amount of food that can go in there to keep us in maintenance. If our stuff is coming out of our bucket, then we're going to gain weight. So I try to pick only foods that are worthy of getting in behind my velvet rope. Okay. Hey, Cindy. I can't hear you. Let me see. Let's see. I think you're frozen, okay. Cindy. Oh, there you are. Hi.
Oh, here I am. Here I am.
How are you?
I'm good. So I was doing the post in the maintenance group of when I went through the maintenance.
Oh, that's you. Oh my God. Thank you so much for doing that. That was so helpful. Y'all, if you guys don't know, Cindy was posting as she reviewed each lesson. She was kind of summarizing. She was like giving us the cliff notes to the maintenance course. That's I loved it. So good.
But since then, you know, I've really looked at things and I decided to change my maintenance range. So my maintenance range was 135 to 145, and okay. I moved it up to 140 to 150. And okay. I was trying to decide if that's really, you know, am I doing this just because it would put me back in maintenance range? Am I doing this? So the 130, so when I got married, I mean, I've been overweight since I was nine. Mm-hmm. So, but when I was in my 20s, I got down to 127 and I kept that for just not very long. And then I maintained 137 for a couple years. And when I got married, I was 137. So I think I was looking at that 135 to 140 thinking, oh, that's the magical number. And, you know, even though I've been married almost, you know, I've been married 29 years. So obviously, and so then there was discouragement because I would look in the mirror and I'd go, well, my body isn't looking like even when I was at that weight before. I mean, obviously I'm 58, so mm-hmm. my body's probably not going to ever look like it did when I was, I got married when I was 29. And so, but my activity level, I love it. I, you know, I'm struggling with stopping it enough, but you know, I'm determined. I'm going to figure it out. you know, what's his main, you know, my thoughts on that, you know, doing discovery sheets and all that. And, but do you think my reasoning for switching to that maintenance range is valid, or is it just me, you know, is my brain, I call her old Bitsy. I know you call it your Steve. Mine's old Bitsy. Old Bitsy just telling me, oh, you're giving up. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So she's gonna say that, right? Why does she say that? Why is she saying, oh, you're giving up?
Because so many times in the past, I lost weight and I either gave up before I got down to my goal, or I got to my goal and I gained it and I just gave up.
Yeah. So she's making this mean that you changing your range is you giving up, because in the past, that is kind of what happened when you, right? Like you gave up on weight loss. You're like, screw this. I'm just going to be done with this. Right.
Right.
But you're not deciding that this time, right? What is your reason for changing
I'm not giving up. No, I'm not giving up.
Yeah. So what is your reason for upping your maintenance range just a little bit?
Well, for one thing, I'm happy with my activity level. I'm happy with what I'm eating. You know, I really do need to stop at enough. I need to figure that one out. But I'm happy with life.
Yeah. So here's the thing. The version of you that picked that maintenance range, whenever you picked it, whenever, you know, you picked that version of you, she was just taking a guess.
Yeah, that's true.
She didn't know.
She was going by what she had done before.
Yeah. She's just like, well, I don't know. In the maintenance course, it says pick a maintenance range. I guess I'll do this one. She didn't know.
Yeah.
Right. But now Cindy, that's gone through the course and is really honing her habits, she's like, you know what? I think actually this is more fitting for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when Bitsy is telling you that, she's just going off your past. You just gotta,
right.
She's asking you to talk back to her. She's basically saying, oh, I feel like this is giving up. And you're like, yeah, you know, we did used to give up a lot, huh, Bitsy? We used to do that. But this is not us giving up. This is us actually deciding what's right for us now. And that can change.
Yeah, and it might even change later.
Hell,
you know,
who knows?
You know, I'm 58.
Yeah.
10 more years. Who knows what it will be?
Yeah. That's why this kind of brings us, thank you for bringing this back to the top of the call. See, you didn't even know you were doing that for me, Cindy, but here you are. That's why we don't talk about maintenance. I would like us not to talk about maintenance as maintaining numbers. We maintain habits. We maintain habits that work for us, and those might change depending on the seasons of our life, depending on if we're on vacation. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is why we're just maintaining our habits. You have already said one area that you know you want to keep working on is stopping it enough, right?
Right.
Well, let's just keep working on that. Let's just keep working on stopping it enough. Let's keep asking ourselves, what is keeping us from stopping before we think we need to or want to? And let's just listen. Right. And then you let that maintenance range take care of itself, because the truth is you don't really know where you're going to end up if you clean up the stopping at enough.
That's true. That is true.
I mean, who knows? Yeah. Right. But it's a red herring to focus on getting your maintenance range right. Because at the end of the day, I mean, that's not nearly as important as you creating the person that you want to be. I don't want you to waste your precious mental energy that you have from day to day on worrying if you're in the right range. I would rather you put all your energy. I know she does. She's like smoke and mirrors. Like, let's get our range right. Right. Let's get that right first. Instead of, oh, why don't we just work on the areas that we're not quite who we want to be with our eating? And then let's just see what happens with our range.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You tell her to shh, be quiet.
It's hard because she's like insistent.
She is. But listen, I'm going to tell you, like I told Audrey, the fact that you can hear her and you don't think it's you saying it, you realize it's her, is so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can hear that voice and go, oh my gosh, Bitsy has been driving this car and she has had me rethinking my range and she's got me doing math on a, you know, this and that. Shoot. She was driving the car for a little bit, but now I know. Listen, we're just going to focus on how can I stop it enough today? That can be your trigger. Every time you start wondering if you should change your maintenance range, let the next question be after that. How do I stop enough at this next meal? How can I make that easy?
Yeah.
And thank you for posting as much as you did. If you guys have not gone back and read her post, that was so helpful to so many of us. So I appreciate you.
Well, I just needed to, because my accountability partner isn't in maintenance. So I just needed somebody somewhere to just post.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that I had to be accountable because I have a tendency to start the courses and not finish.
Well, thank you for doing that. And, you know, we have been kicking around some ideas about all of us kind of maybe going through some lessons together. And we're still thinking about all that because I know I mentioned it on the last call, but you really did a good job showing us and giving us a little peek behind. And I have a feeling that you inspired a lot of people to dig into the course. And it is a really, really good course. So
it is a really good course. I recommend it to everybody. Complete it. Yes.
Complete it. Yeah, complete it and do the worksheets and then post questions and post your ahas, because even if, you know, you're just posting your ahas, that just kind of reinforces what you're working on when you type it out and put it out there and then read other people's comments about it too.
Yeah.
So I think just remind yourself, the only reason you're questioning your range is because of your past, because you thought in your past that that was what the gold star was. It's okay for that target to change. You just got to remind yourself that you were just taking a guess back then and you were just a little bit off.
Yeah. And I'm happy.
You look happy. Well, thank you for raising your hand. That was a really, really good question. It was a great way to wrap things up today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care, Cindy. Okay. All right, y'all, we made it. We made it the hour. Coach Heather is, Heather, did you want me to answer this question that's in there? I see that you're typing an answer. She wants me to answer it live. Okay, I'm going to answer this question in the Q&A. Thank you for welcoming questions from lurkers. You're so welcome. My company has mandated return to office 3 days a week. I have started getting fast food on the way home! I am so sad about not working from home. I should be grateful. I love my job. I have an amazing supervisor, but I just hate losing the no BS routine, starting dinner before my last meeting, getting more sleep, lunch with my husband, that I'm eating out of anger, even put my purse and money in a trunk and got it out. Okay, first of all, that is impressive that you put your purse and your money in the trunk. That was a great experiment. All right, let's go back. Let's just take away the layer of the I should. Anytime I see a client or somebody post, well, I should be this or I should be that, let's just say that whatever, let's just start with normalizing your feelings. Okay. And you've got some other really good questions in there, but I'm just going to coach you on this one thing right here about normalizing this. You shouldn't be anything other than what you are. If you're sad about having to go back into the office, then just be sad. You're human. Sounds like you have some really, you know, things that you're mourning, lunch with your husband. You had a really great routine that you loved, and now you're going to have to like redefine that and kind of make it fit your new life. It's okay to be sad about that. So when we feel like we're not allowed to have the feelings that we have, we don't look for solutions and we don't allow those feelings to flow through us. And that's going to be the blocker to figuring this out. So I just want to start with that. Let's just allow ourselves to be disappointed and sad that we have to go back to work 3 days. Now, I know that seems weird because some of y'all are like, yeah, but if I let myself be sad, then how am I ever going to get happy about going to work? I promise you, the quicker that you just allow the feelings to be and you don't should on yourself about how you should be feeling about something, the more opportunity that you will have to pull yourself through it. It's usually just a natural sort of progression, right? It's okay to be sad about this. Okay. It's really, really okay. So you shouldn't feel anything other than what you actually feel. So I would start there. I would write out, this is what I'm sad about. This is what I'm going to miss, blah, 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 blah. Give that inner person in you, like this is your little person that lives inside of you. Give her a moment to sort of just say her piece. and then see what happens from there. And then the next step I have for you is I would love for you to write into Ask Coaches or post in the main group your questions about coming up with a new no BS routine. Okay. You have an opportunity here to sort of create a different avatar for yourself. Like I think of avatars, like I have like vacation Christy. I have like when the shit hit the fan Christy. I have like every day at home Christy. And I have all these versions of me and how she shows up with no BS and her food and blah, 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 blah. And all of those versions of me are great. So I encourage you to come up with some ways that you can have a version of you that goes into the office. What does she do for no BS? How does she feel? How does she think? Then there's the version of you that's at home. How does she eat? And how does she feel? And how does she plan? And how, what does that look like? So you have an opportunity here to create a person for all of these days. And then just like we did with Audrey, and then you describe those versions in a way that feel really good to you. Okay. Okay. I'm a little bit over. Sorry, y'all. I do want to say happy Mother's Day to those of you that are celebrating tomorrow. If Mother's Day is a hard day for you, I'm holding space for that as well. This might be, you know, we have a lot of women who this may be your first Mother's Day without your mom, or maybe you're trying to become a mom and you've struggled with that. I can relate to that too. So I see all of you and I hold space for all of you on tomorrow. Okay, y'all. I'll see you next month.